Welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast with Mike Evans and Certified Tax Resolution Specialist Todd Whalen. Mike and Todd will discuss listeners' questions and common problems you might face dealing with the IRS.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome into another installment of the IRS Problems Podcast, where we hope to help you with any IRS questions that you have, or at least get you pointed in the right direction. I'm Mike Evans with The Fan, and right next to me there is Todd Whalen from Advanced Tax Solutions, also DIYIRSHelp.com, and he is the expert, and I'm just here I don't know what I'm here for. So we try to answer your questions. And as always, we encourage you, please, if you have any questions, this is a free tool to use to be able to get some questions and some answers to some things that might be really frustrating you or confusing you. So please reach out to denverfan.com/tax, send in your questions and comments, and Todd will do his best to be able to help you out. It's a way to get some really good advice. And here we go. And I want to start, Todd, with something that we talked about in our last podcast about negotiating with the IRS, that as you're trying to put together an offer and compromise, and you're trying to explain your situation and you're trying to negotiate with the IRS. Look, for some people, they love the idea of negotiating. They love the idea of going in to buy a new car and try to dicker and negotiate and get the cost down. Or they're out on vacation and they're buying trinkets and they're trying to get a better deal. Some people are just really good at it. I'm bad at that kind of stuff. It's like, hey, I'll what's the sticker say? Okay, I'll pay it. Sure, you know, whatever it is, you know, just I'm not comfortable doing it. So, do you have any good advice on how to negotiate with the IRS? Do you go in there? Are you really super polite and submissive and gee whiz, I'm hoping to do that? Are you bold? Are you assertive? Are you almost a little bit combative? What? Give us some help here.
All right. Well, first of all, I am always nice to them. That may or may not make a difference. Depends on the agent. So, because you don't want to make them mad so they enjoy destroying you financially. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
They have the power. They have the power. If you owe them money, they don't have to do anything. The rules are all, you know, legally you owe it and they don't have to budge. You can be absolutely right in all of your, whether it's a payment plan or an offer and compromise, you can be absolutely right and get on the other end of the phone, get a bulldog agent that just digs in their heels and wants to make your life hell. They exist and they gravitate towards the IRS. I have met IRS agents that liked to see you cry.
Oh.
They are not nice people. Now, I've met other ones that I've like, man, you're beautiful, you're a wonderful person. So a little bit depends on the kind of person you're dealing with. And you'll know right away. You'll know there by the tone of their voice.
Right.
If they're there to make you miserable. There are times when I get an agent and I just be like, oh my gosh, this person's nasty. That I'm like, well, I gotta go. You know,
let's just move on. I think.
I'm coming right now. So, get rid of the and get off the phone. So number one is know who you're dealing with. If you get a person that's absolutely unyielding, come up with a reason that you've got to get off the phone and call back. I mean, that's part of negotiating. You got to know when you're gonna, you know, because some of them, there's just nothing you can do. They're going to hate you just because you exist. But yeah, it's sad but true. But others are just so kind. They'll bend over. I'm serious. They'll bend over backwards trying to get you into some kind of a solution. So the most important thing in negotiating, I always start kind. I never get nasty. I will go over their heads. You know, I'll be like, well, who's your manager? You know, but I'll say it nicely. Who's your manager? And I really need to talk with the manager. And or, you know, we can take this to appeals. Would you like to go to appeals? And a lot of times that scares them because they know you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So the most important thing in negotiating is knowing the rules. you know, and it's rare, you know, that knowing the rules is key. And that's what makes us win. We go to conferences, we say, like, even right now it's tax season and I'm going to, you know, seminars and whatnot virtually at this point, and just always staying up on the news. The rules change and they change fast. And so I'm always trying to stay up on the rules. And when you're with an agent, it makes a difference if you say, well, you know, that was true last month, but according to the revenue procedure, you know, 22-12 or whatever, that changed. And I can send you a copy of that. That will take you a lot further than you a-hole. I hate you. Yeah. Why won't you do this? You know, but it's so easy. It's so easy for people to get pissed off. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, a lot of people are really angry before they call, and then they get a belligerent IRS agent and you start yelling at them, and they'll just take pleasure in sending bank levies. I mean, they have the power. They'll just,
so that's the strategy, right? That's part of your strategy right there, is get yourself in a good place, a calm place before you make that phone call, right?
Yeah. Tick not on. Yeah. Get your peace, you know. Yes. Have a level head.
Yeah.
Have a level head and know the rules. And that's, you know, again, people with complicated issues hire us because we know the rules. That's what we do. But not everybody has a problem big enough, and not everybody has the money to pay a professional. So that's why we have the do-it-yourself IRS help stuff to kind of help give you the rules. And so it just makes such a difference when you, that's the most important thing, is know the rules when you call. And if they sense that, they won't take advantage of you. They're far less likely to take advantage of you, because if you know the rules, you know you can go over their head. And so, and they know that. They don't want you to go to their manager and make them look like an idiot if they're being belligerent. So I just nicely explain the rules and say, hey, I'd be happy to talk with your manager if you want, but this is the rules and let's move forward. So keeping a level head, keeping your mind sharp, knowing the rules, and just being, and know what you want. Like when I call, I know what I want. I know what I'm going to ask for. And then I also know when to quit. Be like, well, you know, I either quit and call back, or I quit and go over their heads.
Yep.
You know, there's all kinds, you know, you can do appeals and things like that. So, but if you don't know those rules and you don't know appeals, they can just abuse you. I mean, seriously, they can, and some of them like to. It's just craziest thing. So a lot of different personalities you have to deal with.
Yeah.
But a level head is always the best strategy.
Okay, that's good stuff. Good stuff, and I'm learning right along with everybody else. I'm also curious, in this age of COVID, as COVID has turned so many lives upside down, when you're dealing with the IRS, if you have been impacted by COVID to the point where you've had to miss some work, you've had to miss more work than you normally would. The company you work for maybe has been pretty lenient in giving you more time off, but it's affected your ability to make money. Maybe you're dealing with the effects of COVID. How have you seen, you talked earlier about how everything's constantly changing. Guidelines are constantly changing. I'm just curious if in this age of COVID, how COVID has perhaps changed guidelines.
Yeah, and it has. You know, we talked last week about, you know, offers and compromises, and, you know, if your income goes down, and I said how important is, you know, you have to negotiate or sing for your supper. You have to be like, all right, you know, my life has changed and it's more permanent. Like, so job changes that are more than just a temporary thing, you know, if your income's gone down in an offer, that's really big. The lower your income, the better the offer. And so they do understand that right now your, you know, life has changed and many people's income has gone down. And so, you know, so in an offer, COVID could definitely be because of the general, everybody's life has changed and some businesses have been severely affected. And so now people who had a certain kind of job no longer have it, and things have changed. They don't make as much money, and it's not just a passing thing. Well, in an offer, that's definitely something you should be bringing to the table, and they will understand that.
Do you need to have some sort of documentation that, hey, I had COVID, this is when I had it, this is the impact it's had on my life? Or is there perhaps some, you just talked about the ruthless nature at times of IRS right. agents, but is there some more sympathy that you may get if you, do you need the documentation to go along with it?
Well, if I was submitting an offer for somebody and they had COVID and it made a change, that change is going to fall out in their finances. So their finances will change, and that will be obvious to me and to them. But it never hurts to add a narrative to say, hey, you know, this is what happened and this is why, and this is why it's not a simple small thing in my life. Everything changed, and this is now how I live. Mm-hmm. So it never hurts to add a narrative, but they're really going to see it in your financial statements. If your bank accounts are a lot different this year than they were last year, it's better. I mean, it's certainly better proof
right.
than anything you could write in a letter.
Right.
You know,
we get questions every week at denverfan.com/tax. And we love to be able to ask these questions and hopefully help out the people who asked the question, as well as perhaps maybe it will end up helping some other folks as well. So today's question is, Todd, I'm upside down in my house. I have a first and second mortgage on that house. Will having a house keep me from getting an offer with the IRS?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And I'd like to answer, but let me go back just one second and say, we only talked about offers. On payment plans, the IRS have completely changed the rules because of COVID. It's easier to get a payment plan than ever before. So it's, you know, again, know the rules before you call. And the rules are much better on making payment plans. So it definitely affects that too. So this question, will I still qualify if I have a house? And the question says he's upside down in the house. And again, let's talk about houses and offers and compromises. Owning a house will not affect your offer negatively just because you have it. It's how much equity is in the house. So let's say that somebody has a $300,000 house and they owe, let's say they owe $200,000 and they're trying to submit an offer and compromise. Well, if they have a house with a market value of $300,000, right off the bat, and this is great, this makes it really easy to get it's helpful to get an offer. If you have a house and it's worth $300,000, right off the bat, you can reduce the value of that house by 20% for what's called quick sale value. So on the IRS's eyes, that house is only worth 240, even though you have it appraised at 300. And then, you know, depending on the circumstance, I might even argue that there's fix-up expenses to reduce it further. But so the second thing you got to do is say, okay, how much is your loan balance on that house? Is it secured? So let's say that there's, $238,000 of a loan. So you have a $300,000 house, you get to reduce it by 20%, so it's worth $240,000. You have a loan of $238,000. So you have equity in the IRS's mind of $2,000. That's going to be added to the offer. Now, a person that's upside down in a house, there's no equity at all. I mean, if you owe $300,000 and your house is worth $250,000, then there's no value in the house at all. So you don't have to add anything to the equity. And so that won't hurt you at all in an offer and compromise.
So just so I have this clear, if you have a healthy, if you owe a certain amount of money to the IRS and you're lucky enough, you know, it's a hot housing market right now, and you're lucky enough to have some pretty good equity in your home, that you said they go after everything. Can they go after the equity in your home? Or is that something that you keep? You know what I mean? Do you, is that, if you're looking at it and say, hey, look, when I come through all this and I'm done with this, I still want to make sure I have that still waiting for me. Is that something they can go after in any way?
So in an offer situation, they'll disvalue it and you have to pay that certain amount of value. Well, let's say you're not doing an offer. It's okay. This is where it gets tricky. Let's say there's $100,000 worth of equity in the house and we're not talking about an offer. So you owe $300, you have a loan of $200 and there's $100,000 there. They want that. They definitely want that. Now, it's hard for them. It used to be very easy. They could just levy it and take it. But, you know, that made really bad news because, you know, a little old lady, you know, in her 70s losing her house, you know, that's bad PR for the IRS and they know it. So now they have to jump through more hoops to take your house, right? So on the one hand, it's harder for them to take your house, but now they've changed strategies. If they want your house, this is how they get it. They say, okay, I'm not going to set up a payment plan with you because you won't borrow against your house. You won't give me the equity of the house. You won't sell your house. So I'm not going to take your house, but I'm not going to approve a payment plan. So now I'm going to levy your wages. And I'm going to take all the money out of your bank account. So I'm going to take all your money and I'm going to take all your hope of having money. And now you're going to default on that house. And we're going to file a lien before I do this. So that when they take your house, we're going to get paid. So I'm not going to do anything. The bank's going to foreclose on you because you can't pay them. That is the strategy they use now. So, you know, if you have equity in the house, they're going to want you to borrow against it. So how you get around that is if you can prove that you can't borrow against your house, and you do that by applying for a loan and apply for a couple different loans, but you just tell them, well, I have an IRS problem and I owe them X amount and I can't pay them and they want me to borrow against my house. Well, they're going to be like, well, if you have a tax problem, we're not going to loan you the money.
Right.
So if you get a couple of rejection letters, then you can send it to the IRS and say, hey, I tried to borrow against my house and I can't get it done. And so please don't levy me. Let's set up a payment plan. And, you know, let's try to, I'll pay you what I can. So that's kind of how you know, the rules are always changing and so your strategies are always changes. Right. You know, we used to do things 20 years ago that in plain sight that the IRS approved of that are now illegal. We could get in trouble for it. So, I mean, the rules change. But right now, it's hard for them to take your house. So they garnish and they levy and then they get it because the bank forecloses. But there's ways around that by using strategy. So that's how that works.
You know, you describe a level of ruthlessness when it comes to the IRS. I'm amazed that they even worry or care about PR issues when it comes to little old ladies. I mean, do they really care about their PR? I mean, it sounds like they're just, like I said, ruthless.
You know, they can be. And again, I do want to say, I'm telling you, there are really nice agents out there, but they're told this is what you do, right? This is how you do it. And so even the nice ones will do these things, but they won't necessarily love it. And they'll probably work with you a little more. But, you know, they care about the little old lady. They do, because that just means. But what they want is people. They want to make example out of people. So they go after famous people. They go after rich people. They go after people who, if you heard it, it would scare you because you know them, right? A movie star. They love that kind of news. They don't like it when little old lady gets evicted from her home and is living on the street. That is too much. That's just really bad PR. So movie stars, radio personalities, are fair game. Little old ladies, no.
If anybody from the IRS is watching this, I am really at the date on everything. So you do not need to use moi as an example for everyone out there watching. Okay, please. You don't need to do that. As always, if folks have issues, questions that go beyond just what we cover here in the IRS Problems Podcast, they can reach out to DIYIRSHelp.com. And a quick understanding, a quick tutorial, if you will, about what people can expect when they go to that website of yours.
Sure. You know, we talked about negotiating with IRS. I actually wrote something up a while back, and I'll try to find it. I'll post it on the DIY, and it's like, hey, here's the things to keep in mind when you call the IRS. You know, know your stuff, know that, but also keep a level head. Don't piss them off. If you piss them off, you just make their job fun. So I'll put that up on the website. But when you go there, there's right now, I think by the time this podcast publishes, I'll have a third module done. So the first module is offering compromises for wage earners. That's way different than offers and compromises for the small business owner. That's way different. So the wage earner is done. And by the time you hear this, the do-it-yourself offer and compromise for small business owners will be live. It'll be going. And so that's up and coming. And then also a do-it-yourself module on what you need to know, the rules. You've got to know the rules on making a payment plan. You have to understand it. Because as I mentioned before, the first two things IRS is going to ask when you call them for help is, where do you work? Where do you bank? In other words, how can we destroy you financially? Now, how can we help you? So,
There's that ruthlessness we're talking about, man.
That's funny. I take it for granted. It's like just the way it is. You know, I don't even take it personally anymore. So the do-it-yourself on the payment plans explains the rules, explains why they won't. So you've got to know that first of all, what will keep you from getting a payment plan, and then the rules that they'll accept in setting up a payment plan, how the statute of limitations affects a payment plan, and how to go about negotiating it. So that's that. And then on both the offer modules, the wage earner module for offers and compromise and the small business module for offers and compromises, I go through the forms that you need and what the timelines are, so you understand what's happening there, when they'll quit collections. And I go line by line by line, every single line. I talk about, this is what it means. This is what they want. Here's how you can value your stuff for less and how to treat your income and expenses. And the IRS has caps. I explain, it's really good for you to know before you call what the IRS will allow. I mean, so you have housing expenses of this, but based on the county that you live, they're going to allow this. You better know that before you call them. So, or before you submit an offer. So, you know, you don't think, oh, I can do an offer on compromise. And they're like, oh, no, you can't. And this is why. Mm-hmm. So I go through all of that stuff and just simple details. I don't go into every single thing. I mean, I can't teach 30 years of experience in this, but I put as much of the common stuff as I possibly can. And you can definitely get an offer in there. And then also, just so you know, if there's something more complicated in there, like I do a good job of covering all the bases, but you know, everybody's different and everybody's a little different. So once a week, I'll do a podcast like this for those people so they can ask their specific question. I don't understand this on the offer and compromise. Well, you can email me that. And then every Wednesday I go through, I'm like, okay, here's how you address this issue. And then I post that. If you can't show up to that, I post it on the website so you can look at it and get your answer. So I try to make it as easy as possible for you to do an offer on your own. That's what you do yourself on.
Again, that's DIYIRSHelp.com, or you can send your questions in to us at denverfan.com/tax, and we'll tackle some of those questions as well here on the IRS Problems Podcast. Well, that'll do it for this one. For Todd Whalen, I'm Mike Evans. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the IRS Problems Podcast. If you have a question you'd like answered, please post your question at denverfan.com/tax.